President Trump today repeated his threat to withhold federal education funding if schools remain closed at the start of the coming school year, tweeting, "Schools must be open in the fall." Meanwhile, teachers and administrators are planning for how to start the school year as the nation breaks records for new daily cases of coronavirus. For more, we're joined now by Arne Duncan, former Secretary of Education under President Obama. Welcome back.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you've said it is too early to tell if schools should reopen in the fall where you are in Chicago. Do you disagree generally with President Trump that schools should reopen in the fall, or just how he's trying to force them to do so by threatening to withhold federal funding if they don't?
Well, we all want schools to reopen. As a parent, I want that. Our kids want it. Our teachers want to go back to school. The question for the country is it safe for them to do so? And, you know, Trump trying to bully people, trying to threaten, he has no, you know, authority here. He can't withhold funds. It's a lot of continued, you know, bluff and bluster and dishonesty. And what we obviously need to do to make our schools safe is to make our communities safer. And it's actually his tremendous lack of leadership, just horrific leadership over the past several months. That's the only reason why whether or not we can go back to school safely in the fall is in question now. Had we done as a country what we needed to do earlier, testing, tracing, you know, quarantining where we needed to, we would not be having these really, really difficult conversations now.
Well, what is the benchmark that you would look for to determine that it is safe to open schools? Is there anywhere in the country that you look at right now and say, you know, if things stay as they are right now, that place could open safely?
Yeah, no, every situation is different. And I'm, you know, to be very clear, I'm not the scientist or the epidemiologist, but what, as I talk to those guys on a fairly consistent basis, what they're saying is the biggest indicator they're looking for is places where we're seeing declining rates of COVID. And actually, as you know, right now, as we speak, we're seeing record numbers of cases every single day. Unfortunately, in the vast majority of states, record numbers of cases in those individual states. And those things are going in the wrong direction now. And, you know, what we do now in the month of July will determine whether our kids and our teachers have a chance to go back to physical schools, you know, as we go into August. So July will shape August, and that's up to all of us. We can't look for help from the federal government. It's not going to come. We can't look for, you know, honest advice. That's not going to come. We have to do it ourselves.
But even if we had a perfect July all across the country, would it really be safe to say that schools could reopen at the end of August? As we remember, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, really in the United States in mid-March, it wasn't until late April that we started seeing deaths spike the way that they did.
Yeah, correct. And again, I think what it means to reopen is going to vary tremendously. So my short answer is I think everything will be different. Almost nothing will be the same. We might have kids on a, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. We might have other students on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, possibly. We might do morning shifts. We might do afternoon shifts. You know, cafeterias, unfortunately, may be a thing of the past for a while. Choir might be a thing of the past. How we walk in hallways, how we clean bathrooms, how we ride buses. Everything's going to be different. And again, that's going to vary case by case and place by place of how we try and keep not just students safe, but obviously teachers and staff and principals and custodians and, you know, bus drivers, you know, everybody, as well as the parents and grandparents back home. So mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of thoughtfulness that superintendents are working across the country to figure out, you know, what's the best way to try and do this. My best guess now is that we'll end up in a hybrid situation where you will have some students in physical school some of the time, but all students will be spending a significant part of time, maybe the majority of their time, virtually. And that's not ideal. I desperately wanted almost like a mandatory summer school to start this month in July to make up for the learning loss. But because of the lack of federal leadership, because of the, you know, tremendous dishonesty, because we as a country haven't done what we needed to do, we lost that opportunity to get kids back into school now and to help get them caught up. And I just desperately hope our children don't continue to lose out because of our inability to make some small sacrifices on their behalf as adults.
Well, let me just drill down with you on the idea of either a staggered schedule or a hybrid model. What does that mean for the parents if the kids have to spend, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays home from school.
It's a real challenge. And let me make it even more complicated for you, unfortunately, because the nuance here is extraordinarily important to try and understand. Let me give you a couple of scenarios. You may have certain teachers who, because of their own pre-existing conditions, won't be safe to teach at all in a physical building. So they'll have to do all of their teaching virtually. There may be certain students, maybe not because of their own health issues, but maybe because they're raised by their grandmother or their grandfather living with them, who they won't be able to go to school physically at all. There may be other children who will need to be in school every day because their parents are essential workers. And we're going to have to accommodate that. And so this is going to be, you know, a school by school, grade by grade, classroom by classroom calculation. And we're going to have to look out for each other and understand our shared humanity in ways maybe we haven't always done that. And there may be a child who would like to go to school more, but may have to go to school a little bit less because another child in his class has to be at school every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we'll get to that point, but I'm just trying to get people thinking about those are the kinds of real decisions that teachers and principals are going to have to make in the very near future.
Let's talk about masks, too. It's one thing to ask a class of 12-year-olds to wear their masks. It is another thing to try to require that a class of 6-year-olds wear their masks all the time and wear them in the right way and don't take them off and touch their face and then touch their friends or whatever the case might be. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, none of this is easy. And I that part actually, I think, is frankly a little bit easier. And I've seen, you know, lots of kids now on the streets, little guys, 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds wearing their masks. And some of them look pretty cool. And I think that's been okay. The harder part, and the part honestly breaks my heart, is that kids have a natural, you know, they want to hug, they want to touch, they want to play, mm-hmm. they want to, you know, play tag. And, you know, we as human beings need and desire that physical interaction. And that's a really hard, you know, thing to say, you know, can you do none of that? You know, how do we try and do that? How do you do PE? You know, how do you do recess? And that is honestly really heartbreaking for me that, you know, at least for a little while, it seems like we're going to have to try and, you know, restrict some of that. And that's the mask part isn't easy, but I think it's doable. This other part is just such an innately human desire. It's just a really sad thing to me, but it's just unfortunately where we are as a country right now. But it's not fair, you know, to teachers. And what I always say is that schools are not bubbles. Controlling this virus, that's going to be done not at the school level. Schools are playing an important role, but that's going to be done at the community level. And all of us, you know, who live in communities have to be willing to do the things now in July that will put teachers and students in a better position come August. We have to wear a mask. We have to stay off the beaches. We have to stay out of bars. We have to, you know, stay away from indoor dining. And if we as adults can't make those small sacrifices to give our children amazing, you know, learning and social opportunities going into the fall, then really shame on us. Shame on us.
A lot of school districts are looking to the CDC for guidelines about what they should do. And as you know, this week, Vice President Pence, after a lot of criticism from President Trump that the CDC guidelines were too restrictive, said, well, they're going to come out with new guidelines next week. Do you trust the CDC guidelines? Do you think that they're being politicized?
It's just so heartbreaking to me that everybody's scared of this. You know, Trump is a bully. And let me say a couple of things. You know, so one, that makes no sense. Two, he has no ability to order schools opened. Three, he has no ability to withhold funds from schools unless he does something, you know, absolutely illegally. Actually, yesterday, coincidentally, my predecessor, Secretary Spellings, who happens to be a Republican and worked for, you know, President Bush, and Tom Frieden, who ran the CDC, we put out guidance yesterday that is, you know, bipartisan, that is thoughtful, that is based on science and scientists and their best thinking, has no hint of politics or partisanship. So I would encourage districts to and school leaders to take a look at that guidance.
I want to just turn to higher education because several universities are now suing the Trump administration over its decision to revoke visas for some international students if they're not taking in-person classes. And there are many universities that are saying all the classes are going to be online this coming fall for safety. What do you think the universities should do in this situation?
Well, of course they should sue. And, you know, Trump hates immigrants until he needs them as leverage. And then somehow, you know, he acts like they're important. This is not about their learning opportunities. This is about trying to bend universities to his will. And when it is not safe to do so, when that is going to cost lives, it's unconscionable to do that. So universities, you know, have to sue. I assume they'll be successful in court. It is just, you know, infuriating that they have to go to those lengths, you know, that we're spending time on that rather than planning for actually dealing with the epidemic. You know, Trump is hoping he can just sort of tweet away the deaths, tweet away, act like everything is normal. And so it's just a catastrophic collapse of leadership at the federal level that is costing lives and, you know, hurting our kids, you know, whether it's K-12 or hurting higher education. And this play around, you know, students who live overseas, they're just the latest pawns in a very sick game that he's playing.
That is Arne Duncan, former Secretary of Education under President Obama, now managing partner for the Emerson Collective. Arne Duncan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day now.